Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Now, you're listening to a show I think a lot of people tune in today is Unbattered and Unbattered Men and Women. Yeah, that's right. This is the show where we basically talk about the ongoing domestic abuse problem seems to exist in the world. I wanted to start by asking the age-old question, should a man hit back? And that's the thing. Truth is, that's still a divided question. I've heard stories of spousal abuse. I've heard horrors about whatever. And I've heard basically people saying, know what, a man should never hit back. He's so much bigger, he can do so much more damage. But once again, that's what stops basically people throwing the first punch in the first place. Because look, if she knows no matter what, she isn't going to get hit. She can't look for any excuse to punk and dog and bully him because she knows she's untouchable. That's what stops people from doing wrong, the fear of consequences. If you do something terrible, something even worse will happen to you. My father used to say, like it or not, one thing worse than anything is the punishment always has to be just a little bit bigger than the crime. Just a little bigger. If you pull a knife on somebody, you'll be thrown into a situation, into a certain place where they beat and rape and shank you. You're never quite safe. It always has to be a little bigger. Anywho, let me just say this much. Women often try not to hit each other because they're always worried about their looks being messed up. So they make a lot of backhanded remarks and insults to each other. Is that better? Seems like it. It was often taught you shouldn't hit anybody. But the simple sad fact is that you can't always rely on that. No one should, but that doesn't mean no one will. People do a lot of things they shouldn't do. People make a point of doing things that they shouldn't do. It's a habit. I'm doing it because I shouldn't. The thing is, I once heard a woman basically mention, I'm so tired of that poor woman routine when she stays with an abusive man. If she stays with him, she's no better than he is. Some people just get off on what you would call, oh, what's the word I'm looking for? The thrill. And that's a real thing, the thrill. The thrill is a giant, it's a huge thing. The sad thing is the excitement factor. The factor of being in that kind of danger. I'm not talking about crazy or good lovers. They often are. It's one of the main reasons they stick. I remember basically saying, psychos are more fun in the sack. That's when, there's a limit to anything. Like even when sex gets too good. When they know they've basically made you moan just right. They have a lot of, they know they can get away with murder, and they will. And they're going to try to come close. Common thing. But once again, if somebody hits you, you should hit back. We all remember the infamous...
I was going to advise you to argue it, okay? How's it going?
Yeah, he's the real host of the show. Look, he's the front zipper. I'm just the side pocket.
Hold on, the police. If you're not working with me in the same pants, you can have your own pants, sir.
Thank you. I think that's a response.
Yes. So how things are going, I would listen to what you said about how people in fact are crazy. But a lot of people that are like that, they don't think they're crazy. And people say, yeah, you are crazy. Do you think so? So often people don't acknowledge that. What do you think about that?
I don't know. I think you are. Sometimes you are who you think you are. But sometimes you think you're someone you're not. That's a real thing. You don't know what's what.
Do you think that that makes Alicia better? Do you think people think of compliment? Like, somebody thinks he sends something that everybody enjoys. And then, because some people are so biased, they use a bias to be oppressed by oppressed people because they're biased. And you can be saying something, it's might come along that no one enjoy that, this person can change the whole, the aura of the whole room. Just because this person said something, they, like this person, I can't say anything because, you know, I ain't this and this and that. From the bit, people are trying to destroy your happiness. Everything you do is after to you. You know, a lot of times, not all the good to get people access to you, because then they try to use it against you, especially someone below you. Oh, my goodness. Why do you think a lot of people being destroyed? A lot of people being destroyed by people that envy them, and then they're better than that person. And sometimes it's better just to not even deal with the person. So you get peace of mind. Makes sense?
Makes all the sense. We all need that peace. Like, how do you deal with people? How do you deal with somebody? I don't know.
There's different components because some people are aggressive physically, and they bully people because the person emotionally has got more mental capacity, but then the person bullies them physically.
Hmm.
Right?
It's such an ordeal.
There are a lot of people out there that mentally they're stronger than a lot of people, but physically they have an issue dealing with things. Right? Like, you can be a person that's strong, people can bother you, right?
Yeah.
But some of the things like, oh, you're in warfare. Well, I can bully you because you this and this and that. They won't try. And I always say, normal time, not in the city, I would say, the coward are always the one that keep up trouble. They say the coward's always the one provoking people, trying to act like they're tough. They don't let people just have peace of mind. A lot of that, it got two elements to it, you know. Because there's some people, they don't think they're cowards because they're willing to do anything to prove their point. But they ain't using it in a way that everyone can benefit. It's kind of like, the only person winning is them. You know, people motion up all the time. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody, look at this. Look at your happiness and look who is attached to your happiness. Are there someone that you can keep growing with? Or are these people compromising you mentally? Some who've been friends for 15, 20 years, then they fall out. Right?
Oh, yeah.
And then they never be friends again. Now, some people maybe, oh man, I can't stand this person. Maybe a person will change their life. He's a person they can't stand. So it can change, you know. So what do you think, Bob Dude? What do you feel, you know, if you were sharing the story, what do you feel friendship is? What's the part of a friendship role in happiness? And what is the relationship? Could you all say, some people should be friends before they date. So, you believe that?
Oh yeah, I get that.
So, what is your input on that?
My input is that basically, we literally need to do something. We literally need. Say, well, since everyone's basically just asking, how can I do that today? How can I do that now? Well, first of all, you know, somebody once made a weird suggestion that everybody should take martial arts, whatever. But then I always felt like if they would, it would be just like a kung fu movie where everyone would be just beating the crap out of each other. Somebody once said we should renounce violence forever. Yeah. But you always felt like if you just gave it up completely, then someday a very violent person is going to come to you and you won't be able to defend yourself. It'll be all over.
But most people do martial arts than ever. Right now we're in Northern California. And it's in California, especially where we're located, there's so many there martial arts facilities around. who's mostly going to martial arts places? We said, I don't know about this here. If everybody that mostly wants to martial arts places are saying people that don't like you, don't deal with you, bias, it's going to be a problem. You know, let me tell you about martial arts. Discipline, work problems, border fighting. But then, the martial arts instructor could be prejudiced, biased. Most of them they are. They don't change their behavior to being biased. They're able to have a position where people ain't challenging no more. See? Yeah, that makes it very difficult when you take those kids to a martial arts facility and those kids are getting treated well, but, you know, it's a very passive stigma when you are doing business with people that don't like you and they like your kids, and the only person you can treat well is your kid. All the other parents are treated well, you can treat them with respect, and everybody else is treating you, you gotta come in, you like on eggshells. And this is a system where people allow the kids to be for actual prejudice enforcers. People culturally, they don't have to necessarily say too much. The kids can enforce the propaganda that their parents taught them. And the parents sit back. Hey, like culture games in a sense. Our platform has been created. This platform was created to entertain comedians, right? So you got entertainment from comedians. But then you got, when you go to the comedy clubs and venues, right?
Oh, yeah.
You have so many people telling, you know, those times, this was years ago. This had to be like over 10 years ago, right? And you remember when you was going to open mics, you know, 10 years ago.
Mm.
And they were telling you all the rules, don't cuss, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. I'm like, shit, you ain't going to be able to say nothing in a minute. Remember that? And shit, I remember he was telling you, like, you got Tourette's, so he's cussed.
Yes, and also, not only will I have nothing to say, but people wouldn't want to hear it. I mean, the simple fact is you go to a comedy club specifically to hear all that.
Yeah, but
it's refreshing.
But you got bias and infrastructure people, not comedians. They just like, kind of like, you know, a person that's like, they're a bully from economically tuned in to your ability. Now he's not robbing you, like, give me your money. But he's like, hey, there are no way to take your money without actually taking your money. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And, a lot of people, they try to discourage you. Like, I remember this happened years ago, right? This person, I don't know what's about to be in the town, right? Stand-up comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So, can you come up my venue? You know, venue. She's like, yeah. And she's like, well, I got this restaurant, and I want to do some comedy. And she's talking about paying, the mouse she's talking about paying me. I said, how many people are going to be at the venue? So, maybe like, about 100. So listen to this. She's gonna have 100 people at a venue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she tries to give us change. In my mind, she's gonna make all this money selling food. And that's one of the things where I don't want to be caught up in venues where I gotta have a hookah. You know what I mean? I don't want to be nowhere where I have to sell liquor. You know why? Do I drink? No. See, and that's another thing we're trying to get you. We're trying to force you to sell this. Man, I don't drink, and I'm not going to be standing here as going to say and trying to sell liquor for you. I don't want to be involved with liquor, right? So that's the most challenging thing is they want to make money off sporting people, and I don't want to be involved with sporting people. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
So, oh, it's liquor. They know you got 2-drink minimum. Other venues. Comedy clubs, man, I've been to comedy clubs, man, and the drinks are so damn high, they're like, you charge this much for the drinks and a 2-drink minimum. And some places, like, you know, they say 2-item minimum. And somebody's like, you can buy food, and I don't count because you didn't buy two drinks. And then somebody was telling me today about a comedy club. So he has a comedy club around. And I'm like, man, do you remember how when people said comedy and when you seen something that you really enjoy, and then somebody's talking about comedy, you see how comedy was and how it can look different? Say, oh my goodness. You have to start, like, when you see different genres of comedy and see how people rejecting it, it's like somebody's making you start all the way over again.
Oh, yeah.
You finally got to a place where you find a kind of style of comedy, a kind of, you know, personality that you really enjoy. And then you go to the other genres of different comedy and different people, you feel like you have to start all the way over. And people understand, it's like, it's devastating for a comedian to build herself up, to understand the intellect of the ability. It's like someone is capturing your comedy by taking you through a space of comedy that it's like, oh my goodness. And, you know, it's like going on vacation and having a bad time. That's what it's like, having the wrong comedy formula that you don't agree with. Now, it's different when someone got something that you can really appreciate. Just, you know, that's not my style. But when somebody just completely just, you know, you just seen in the comedy, when somebody say comedy, you see, you're like, this comedy? Like, this genre of comedy? Like, you sure this genre is comedy? So when you start figuring out all the different types of comedy, you say to yourself, like, man, there's no reason why people should have any problem with comedy. There's too many types of comedy. You start hearing somebody start talking about comedy, what the intellect of comedy, and start telling you storyboard of how the comedy is set up, how the, you know, how it's broken apart. You say, oh, this really comedy. And that's the thing. Like, you got people that's doing sketch comedy, and it's different ways that they build up. And, and that's the thing that people realize about you. Like, you really into details about what you're talking about. And that gives a, like, really, that's a real good quality about, but some people don't do comedy that way. Are you trying to, you know, not being considerate of all those comedy styles? Well, you think, hold on, what kind of comedy, they want to ask you, talk dude, what is your comedy style? If you would ask, hey, how's it going, talk dude? What's your comedy style? What would you tell
them? I don't want to pigeonhole myself, but I would say basically that liberation of a guy who says something that desperately needs to be said.
But can I ask you this question? Yeah. Why is your comedy so much around politics? Is that something you truly want to do?
I think a lot of that's due to the fact that, and this is a big part of the book, we often say it's not up to us to decide the way life is, the world is.
Right.
No, BS. The whole point of a political party to decide how the system works and the world we live in. That is the point. And everyone needs to get a little bit more active and sign up and do something if you're not registered to vote. For God's sake, do something.
But isn't it as much important as you're talking about politics? Right. Like, it's like someone informing you information that you had no recollection of that helps you. Now, when people help you with something that you're not aware of, and then they do it, you're very thrilled by it, right?
Mm-hmm.
It takes you to another place, right?
Yeah.
But what do you think about how people take you apart and give you all the trash that you've been just, like, trying to get rid of? You know, it's like you gotta bring it out to someone with all his drinks and snacks and everything on it. Would you be too happy? No, you won't be happy at all, right? So what I'm saying to you is, when you talk about politics, the room shifts because everybody's intellect, everybody's not geared for that kind of discussion. And you talk about politics, I said, bro, you make any of the people shift because you just want politics to become, you know, people be very, you know, personal with the politics that they, the viewpoints they stand for, because that's that is something that pimping used to destroy people's peace of mind. And that is a lot of, you look at the politics of people's culture and countries, that culture and how they identify with them, you find out it's a lot more layers to that than people really telling you about, you know? And do you understand that? So when you say politics, people become, okay. When I start like, for instance, this is another thing about comedy. People start battering you if you start talking about the things they want you to talk about. You as a comedian, you had enough time wasted for people bothering you. So what's the purpose doing something just to do it and not have something that substance where you're building a quality, building this kind of leverage that you don't have to keep compromising things that you truly believe in?
I don't know. That's the thing.
Yeah, but we never try to enjoy it. Your dad's your leverage to be even more involved in your happiness. It's limitless. Do you know how many people in this world got either artistic, Asperger's, Tourette's relative, or not having Tourette's themselves? There's millions of people. Millions of people that are artistic and for all these things, and you act like you're the only person on earth. Me, talk dude, be the only disabled person on earth. Me don't know what you're talking about. Like, that's what you're talking like. Now, are you recognizing the ability that your knowledge carrying you? No. So what? I mean, too much like right that you recognize your greatness. Recognizing the batteredness is something that we don't have to deal with in the capacity of being a hostage. You're a free person, and you got to recognize that. You can't come around here and become this person that not recognize his ability. What's the purpose you come around and try to free people, and you're not really free? Make sense?
Yeah, it does.
And that's the approach you're taking.
I kind of try to be free a lot of the time of myself. I mean, true story, I had some trouble getting here today. I basically was on the freaking bus at one point. There was something was falling out of my hand, something, and then at one actual point, my glove was gone. And it just feels like that, you know. I lost my earlier phone, this phone this guy gave, you know, whatever. I seem to lose everything. I have trouble. I'm afraid to basically stand on my own in a lot of ways. I'm afraid to leave that nest. Because I can't stand. I keep trying to, and it all just falls apart in my hand. That's a real thing.
What?
What?
Well, hold on. That is the trash that's going outside. It's not the thing that's coming in. The thing that you're not looking at is you become so much better within your society. And the more you feel yourself, to create all the things that you don't really need and open up things that you really need at this point. As you open up things you really need at this point, you're going to see the things that really make you who you are, redefining your ability. Now, talk to the people, man. They want to hear you.
All right. I feel like if there is hope for me, there can be almost hope for anybody. Oh. Anybody.
One second, man. You're not as bad as you think you are, sir. I once again, you're not bad as you think you are. It's people that if you met them, you would just like, and then they get over that. I'm not saying you have more going for you than you want to give yourself credit for. And it's the same thing every day. It's like, I don't want to be successful because I got responsible. And that's the worst thing, your worst problem is you don't want to be responsible for yourself. You're not responsible for how many people you're going to be. You got to be, you're going to be their mentor. And the effort you're taking is a bad approach to be a mentor. And people look up to you. Old, young, no age. People look up to you, man. The way you're going about it I don't know, I told you this several times before, become the cause very selfish.
Gotta save yourself before you can help anybody else.
Makes a lot of sense, sir. Makes a lot of sense. That did make a lot of sense, sir. But when it's going to the point of time where you realize you saved yourself already, you just now it's just going over this emotion. It's like, this is not a you know, a memorial of showing you like, are you the piece where you're looking at? You know, are you talking this to yourself in the third person? Do you recognize that you beyond the point of your problems at this point? Have you recognized that? You haven't recognized it, have you? Or you're still going through the motions, like you're still going through that problem that you're not dealing with exactly. This is the problem. This is the part right now. You're free now. So you got to recognize that. You're free. Talk to people and give them the words of what it truly means to be free. You are you still in the program, sir? You don't want to talk?
No, I can talk. I can talk. All right. I want to say, no matter how exciting it might be, don't put yourself in a situation where you're getting battered. But they beat you and they tell you it's fair. It's right.
Beat you and they tell you what is fair. It's right.
It's a slippery slope.
Slippery slope.
Find yourself.
Well, this is Comedian Organic OK. And you've been listening to Satisfying... See the change from the past, be the change from the future. And this guy right here, he's just acting like he's on a commercial break.
Okay, all right. What else to say really at this point?
The show is 3 minutes left, and we're here to wrap the show up.
Okay. If you know something, you see something wrong, you see abuse.
Oh my God!
You want
to give him a number to call? You
want
to give him that number to call? So you call.
Yeah, but there wasn't much time left. I'm trying to go, so I guess I was trying to look out a little, without a PSA. Service.
I tell you that all the time.
I'm trying to feel a little bit better about myself. Feel a little bit better about yourself.
I said, well, come prepared. You come here like a selfish dog.
You
like a selfish dog.
Whatever you want to do. Thanks. Look, I always share with my dog. She always comes every time she sees me eating. She comes up all a little lovey-dovey lap dog. And I always give her scraps.
You know what I mean? If you are upset right now, if you know upset with just the whole, like, animal thing, then these people. If people out there look like an animal, bro. If you out there, like, you almost pet them, bro. Like, their mind stands like that. And you have to recognize different people's
mindset. Well, thank everybody for listening to Battered and Unbattered Men here on the program.
It's called Seeing the Change in the Past.
Seeing the Change for the Future. See it, be it, believe it, and call in. One on the air. We're at 1-515-605-977. We're all over the net. Keep that in mind, okay?
We ain't all over the net yet, but we're going to be shortly.
Yeah, we will be. We're going to – yeah, we have a site. Look, just check us all about that.
Just tell them, man, you're going to get it together soon, man. Just tell that because what you doing, man? What co-host, man? I don't know what's going on with you tonight, man.
Well, yeah, I think you inspired me in a lot of ways. So get it together and all that.
Oh, man. Okay. Take care.
Thank you all for listening to this at some point. You're probably not listening to it now, but hopefully you will hear this at some point. Thank you. Good night.